So, Lord, we come before you, two becoming one. Yes, in a definitive moment, at the exchange of vows, the exchange of our bodies, we became one. We can look back, Lord, with you, and see the anticipation of the offering and the grace of the Holy Spirit that hovered upon my spouse and me. But really, everything changed at the exchange of vows. Exteriorly, remain the same, but interiorly, we were really transformed. No longer just a man or a woman. We actually became a communion, Lord. Two broken vessels becoming one. Lord, we know that when we offer little things or big things to you, there are blessings. But how many were asked and said no? The rich young man was invited. Go sell what you have and follow me. And he just couldn't do it. He couldn't surrender or turn it over or let it go or just see it for what it is. A soon-to-be rusty or moth-infested object or experience in exchange for love. Oh, Jesus, we ask you to pour your grace into the hearts of these couples. Bless their spouse. Transform our eyes, Lord, to see them differently. Transform our own eyes to see ourselves differently. Not as just wounded or sinful, but as a loving communion. And transform our ears, O Lord, to hear our spouses differently, and not to hear ourselves or that internal dialogue, which is so confusing and accusing. Lord, transform our lips and our mouth, not to seek self through harsh words or silence or sarcasm, but through charity. Lord, help our bodies to be transformed. Not for selfish purposes, but for your glory. Do I see my body as an instrument of love and charity and forgiveness? I was recently reading through the scriptures. And struck by something that Jesus had said at the transfiguration. The disciples had now seen Jesus shining brilliantly. And their response was, let's build three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And then let's just stay here. And Jesus, Scripture says, Jesus came and he touched them. He used that powerful gift of the touch. Then he says, rise and have no fear. They had to go back down the mountain, but he emphatically reminds them through the touch, through lifting them up out of that sense of being afraid, have no fear. If Christ were to touch some aspect of your marriage and say, rise, have no fear, what part of that bond would it be? Do you know? Is it an aspect of you? Is it an aspect of your relationship? Because in order to really live in the freedom of a marriage, which is really the vocation, right? To live in freedom. There has to be a willingness. You know, the rich young man in everybody's life needs to die. He's going to say, hey, turn it over to me, because you can't gain the whole world. You cannot gain the world. Come follow me. We know the pain of the gospel. The rich young man couldn't do it. I reach the half century mark soon. 50, for those of you that don't know the number. I guess I keep hearing in my heart, like, not in an accusatory way, but when are you going to really start giving? Like, when are you going to really start, like, loving in the actions? I turn the same question over to you. Maybe you have children or grandchildren. They're not going to be 3 years old forever. When are you going to really start giving? We can say, I don't give because of this. There's a million reasons everybody has. I understand. But when are you going to really start giving and living in the moment? Because you can say, oh, tomorrow, Father, I'm in. Rise and have no fear. When the disciples were sent out two by two, could easily look to the two of you and say, go together. Can you go together? Can you go in the same direction? Can you submit yourselves to each other and say, let's go in this direction. Let's serve in this way. Let's sacrifice in this way. Go. That's the beauty of our vocations. It's not a vocation for tomorrow. It's just a vocation for the moment. As you know, we'll All will be judged on love. How much love did you put into what you did? Did you really love everything you did? And we can say, I don't like this or I don't like that. Fine, everybody gets that. We all got parts of our day that you're like, you'd like to farm that out. Give it to your spouse, right? But really, I have to tell you, it comes down to what the saints talk about. Did you love what you did today? Or were you not present? I think that's one of my biggest worries. I can say, yeah, I ran around and helped the sick and all that good stuff. But every once in a while, I'm like, oh, man. This is when I take my recess. The saints had really strong willpower. The willpower, with the grace of God, it's a response of grace, but they prayed for it. To overcome themselves, to not choose to turn away from the Lord, to not choose to turn away from their spouse. Do you ever pray for the grace to really overcome yourself? Like, really, emphatically, do you really pray for that? Like, I really don't need to watch television. I really don't need to play golf. Like, you really don't. You may want to. But that's the grace. That's the point I want to drive at tonight. That free will death, right? Jesus touches you. He says, rise and have no fear. And this, you will not lose your identity. If you do what he's telling you, give it up. Give up that which keeps you from totally loving. The beauty of it is it's a daily decision. By the way, Father Flume's in the back if anybody wants confession. But it's a daily, daily, daily decision. And that is the hardest part. That's when your will has to be configured to Christ. I will, with the grace of God, love this day. I'm going to ask Mike to sing another song. And then Father Kevin and I will pray over people. But I want you this with this grace, right? With the fight. Do you have the fight in you to really strive to be a holy couple? And to give sacrificially, daily, generously, lovingly. That's everything. Everything. And my experience is when you ask for that and you do it, God gives you the grace more and more each day. Each day he gives you the grace to do it, to do it, to do it. But it's hard. Because you have to be like the rich young man and make the decision. I choose really to die to my selfishness, my own desires, my own emotions. Your emotions necessarily are not proper. And I choose to overcome myself to love. I'm going to ask the good Lord for just the grace. He touches, he says, rise out of yourself and have no fear. It's really hard, because if you don't do it, you'll experience sadness. Sadness will creep into your marriage, and first into your heart and into your marriage. And then, candidly, if it doesn't convert at that moment, it'll turn into anger and isolation. You have to make the choice. I have to make the choice in my own vocation. But it isn't enough just to clap for couples that are married 30, 40 years. That's great. They may just be roommates. You don't want that. That's a sadness. I'm talking about a deep, loving communion. When your kids tell me, yeah, my folks had a great marriage. They weren't just roommates. They really loved each other. That's what the priest wants to hear on the day of your funeral. What were your parents like? Oh, man, Father, they really loved each other. Just seeing Dad, the way he took care of Mom. Just seeing Mom, Dad came home, gave her kids, blah, blah. I said, really? Yep, we saw it all the time. Oh, man, that's what all of you are supposed to be. That's what the church needs. That's what the world needs. Is that what you are? Are you that kind of loving couple? And you can say, oh, it's not important. You know it's important. Because you wanted that in your mom and dad. You want that. Don't you want your priest to love the church? When he loves the church, you're like, yeah, my pastor really loves our parish. Well, what's the difference between me and one of you loving your bride? Nothing. Or loving your husband? Zero. Zero. Just gotta have no fear. Really pray about it. And choose the thing you want to die. And form your will to step on it. You do not need it. You do not need it. It will heal your marriage. But it's hard. But if it's anger, step on it. If it's isolation, call it out. Then there's freedom. So we're just going to sing a song, and then Father Kevin, I'll pray over you.